Well, it's December, and as far as music goes, that usually means one thing. But I promise we'll keep the sleigh bells to a minimum on this edition of the Shellac Stack.
Listen to the jingle of the jingle bell, jingle eyes, jingle all. Everybody's feet begin to tingle, oh, to the tingle of the jingle bells. Happy laughter mingled with the jingle bells, jingle eyes, jingle all. Time for Mr. Kringle and the mistletoe and the jingle of the jingle bells. Tap, 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 man's here again with the tap, tap, tap on your rooftop. Tip, tip, toe down the chimney and then Santa Claus is off on his rounds again. And you can hear the jingle of the jingle bells as he rides away in his reindeer sleigh. Jingle, I jingle, oh, through the snow he'll go with the jingle of the jingle bells. Everybody's feet begin to tingle, oh, to the jingle of the jingle bells. Happy laughter mingles with the jingle bells, jingle I, jingle oh. Time for Mr. Kringle and the mistletoe and the jingle of the jingle bells. Tap, 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 man's here again with the tap, tap, tap on your rooftop. Tip, tip, toe down the chimney and then Santa Claus is off on his rounds again. And you can hear the jingle of the jingle bells as he rides away in his reindeer sleigh. Jingle I, jingle oh, through the snow he'll go with the jingle of the jingle bells. Tap, 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 that man's here again with the tap, tap, tap on your rooftop. Tip, tip, toe down the chimney and then Santa Claus is off on his rounds again. And you can hear the jingle of the jingle bells as he rides away in his reindeer sleigh. Jingle I, jingle oh, through the snow he'll go with the jingle of the jingle bells.
When was the last time you heard that song at Christmas time? Or any other time, for that matter? That's Pat Harrington, noted stage actor of the 1940s and 50s, singing Tap, Tap, Tapping Santa, a song written by Ruth Cleary and Floria Vestoff in about 1948. That was recorded for the Carnegie Hall Recording Company. Essentially, it's a private release. Actually, I think that was designed to accompany window displays at Christmas time in department stores around New York City. It says it was manufactured for the Bliss Display Corporation, which at one time was quite a well-known consulting firm for designing window displays for department stores. I don't think that was ever commercially released, and I know of absolutely no other recordings of the tune. The words may not be anything special, but melodically, I think the tune is quite catchy, and maybe you'll catch yourself humming it a little later on. I seem to hum it quite a bit. I was very happy to find that record, though, a few years ago, and I'm happy to be able to play that here on the Shellac Stack and welcome you to the Shellac Stack, a program of 78 RPM records from the 19-teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. My name is Brian Wright, your host for music from these fast-spinning discs, as my friend Glenn Robinson calls them, rapidly rotating records. And it is Christmas time, and so today's program, we will feature some Christmas records from the whole 78 RPM era. We're going to start with Leroy Anderson and his Pops Concert Orchestra. This is a medley that Leroy Anderson arranged. I first encountered this on an LP by Arthur Fiedler and the Boston Pops. their Christmas album from the late 50s. It's called A Christmas Festival, and the arrangement runs almost 9 minutes, so Decca Records, when they recorded this in 1952, split it into two chunks and put it on both sides of a 10-inch 78 RPM record. So we'll play the two sides for you now. Here it is, Leroy Anderson and his Pops Concert Orchestra to start us off, Decca 16041, A Christmas Festival.
Thank you.
That was recorded in New York City on October 27th, 1952. A Decca record, Leroy Anderson leading his Pops Concert Orchestra, a thing he put together called a Christmas Festival. And I would like to wish you a very Merry Christmas, or a very Happy Holiday, whatever holiday it is you may celebrate at this time of year, if any. It's been so long since I've done a Christmas special here on the Shellac Stack. I seem to keep starting out the year strong, but by the time November and December rolls around, I'm off doing other things. And so I realized it's been a while, but I should do a Christmas program because I have a lot of Christmas records. And I hope this will be something of an antidote to the overplayed Christmas classics that seem to be all over the airwaves at this time of year. I was in the dentist office the other day, and as I sat in the chair, I was subjected to Brenda Lee singing Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, and John Lennon singing Merry Christmas, War Is Over, and a handful of other Christmas perennials that, as great as they are, there's just so much other stuff out there, and so much of it, in my opinion, is as good or even better, and it hasn't been worn out. So I hope on this program today, I'll be able to play some records. Even if you know the songs, there are a lot of classics on the program for today, but these may be versions that you're not familiar with, or maybe you haven't heard them in a long time. And we'll start by going back to 1917, September of that year. It's the Columbia Double Mixed Quartet, a Columbia record, A2391, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Thank you. There's a record I've loved for many, many, many years. I got my first copy of that in the very first batch of 78s I ever acquired back when I was in elementary school. Francis J. Lapatino at the harp, and a selection of Christmas hymns that included While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, Silent Night, and O Come All Ye Faithful. And I've since been fortunate enough to come across a couple other copies of that and able to upgrade the rather scratchy one I had as a child. Victor 19822, that was recorded in Camden, New Jersey, October 13th, 1925. And I had hoped to share with you some background information about Francis J. Lapatino, who seems to have been something of a regular at the Victor recording studios in the 19-teens and 20s. His career there actually spanned from 1904 to 1931, during which time he made more than 700 recordings, often as a member of an orchestra or as accompanist to singers. He accompanied everybody from Enrico Caruso to Charles Hart and Elliot Shaw to Elsie Baker, pretty much anybody who stepped in to the Victor Studios to record probably ran into Francis J. Lapatino at that time. He was also a member of the Neapolitan Trio, the Venetian Trio, and the Florentine Quartet. But aside from that, I couldn't find out that much about him online. It seems that in 1956, there was an article about him in the magazine Hobbies, although I wasn't able to access that. Maybe one day I'll track it down and see what that has to say about him. Other than that, I can tell you that Lapatino was born in New York City in 1879, but I don't know when he died. Maybe he's still out there at, 130-some years old, blank. I doubt it. But a lovely record. Before that, the Columbia Double Mixed Quartet from 1917 and O Little Town of Bethlehem. Well, this is my first program in, let's see, over 2 months now, almost three. And in that absence, I did get a number of emails from people listening, expressing their well wishes, for which I'm grateful, and hoping that I was okay, that everything is all right here. And it is. The reason I've been absent these past several months is that I was in the final throes of finishing up my PhD dissertation in musicology, and it was crunch time, as they say. I had a lot left to do and a very short amount of time to do it, and unfortunately, the podcast, as much as I enjoy it, just could not take priority. The dissertation had to come first. And I'm very happy to say that earlier this week, I defended it successfully, so I have passed that stage and now have some revisions ahead of me before the whole thing is said and done. So I'll keep working at it, but I should have a little more time in the coming weeks to get back to a regular schedule of biweekly Shellac Stack programs. But for the remainder of today's program, I'd like to keep the talking to a minimum so that we can fit in all these records I've got. We're going to turn now to Leo Watson, Scat Singer Supreme, with the Vic Dickinson Quintet, a signature record from 1946, number 1004. You'll know the tune. Ha ha ha.
the ragtime band. Band playing. Bing, 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 bing. The bass drum, bing, bong, bing, bong, bing, bong, 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 bong,
a little closer, children, I've got a story to tell.
Oh, gee.
It's about a man you've heard of, and I knew him well.
How well?
He was born on a cold winter's morning, and went on to gain great fame. But may I begin my story, and refer to him by name?
Please do.
Frosty the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul, with a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty the Snowman made the children smile, they say, and were they surprised when he rolled his eyes and he came to life that day. There must have been some magic in that old silk hat they found, for when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around. Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be, and the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me. With a corncob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Were they surprised when he rolled his eyes and he came to life that day?
But Uncle Jimmy, you didn't finish your story.
I know, I just paused to catch my breath.
What happened to Frosty when he came to life that day?
Oh, he got in a lot of trouble, you see? Frosty the Snowman knew the sun was hot that day, so he said, let's run and we'll have some fun before I melt away.
Where'd he go?
Down to the village with a broomstick in his hand, running here and there and around the square, saying, catch me if you can. He led them down the streets of town right to the traffic cop, and he only paused a moment when he heard him holler, stop.
No!
Frosty the Snowman had a hurry on his way, but he waved goodbye saying, don't you cry, I'll be back again someday. Thumpity-tump, tump, thumpity-tump, tump, look at Frosty go. Thumpity-tump, tump, thumpity-tump, tump, over the hills and snow.
Who can mistake the voice of Jimmy Durante on an MGM 78, 30257? That was recorded in 1950, the year that song came out, Frosty the Snowman, with an introduction that I don't think you get to hear that often. Kind of fun to hear that. Before that, Leo Watson and the Vic Dickinson Quintet from 1946, and Jingle Bells. A couple more pop selections for you now. We'll start with Dick Robertson and listen to him sing I Want You for Christmas, something that's always been a favorite of mine, from October of 1937. It's a Decca record. After that, another Decca 78 from 1935, the Riley Farley Orchestra, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. And we'll wrap up this next little set with singer Eddie Howard and his orchestra, a majestic 78 from 1947, I'll Be Home for Christmas. So, three pop tunes now, beginning with Dick Robertson and his orchestra, one you don't hear enough, I Want You for Christmas.
Thank you. for Christmas. Anything that Santa would bring could never compare with you. I want you for Christmas. You're a pet that money can't get, and nothing but you will do. I just wrote a letter, and if my wish comes true, you can bet by Jiminy he'll come down the chimney with a bag full of you. I want you for Christmas. If only Santa does what he should, I'm knocking on wood for him to make good. Christmas morning, baby, I only want you. And if my wish comes true, you can bet by Jiminy he'll come down the chimney with a bag full of you.
I'll be home for Christmas. And you can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where that love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only in my I'll be home for Christmas, if only
That's Eddie Howard singing and leading his orchestra on a Majestic 78 from 1947, I'll Be Home for Christmas. Eddie Howard was one of a handful of singing big band leaders in the 1940s. Probably the most successful of them all was Vaughn Monroe, who, by comparison, sounded so stiff and formal. I think I really prefer Eddie Howard. He had a really nice, if light-sounding voice. Got to hear it there. Before that, the Riley Farley Orchestra on Decca 1031, recorded October 23rd, 1935. That was Wayne Gregg singing Santa Claus Is Come Into Town, a tune written by J. Fred Coots and Haven Gillespie. We started the set with Dick Robertson singing and, well, nominally leading his orchestra, although it was really just a concoction of studio musicians, recording for Decca in 1937, a tune by Charlie Tobias and Ned Washington. I Want You for Christmas. Really catchy tune. Mae Questel and her Betty Boop voice also recorded that, and I think there were maybe one or two other versions, but I like the Dick Robertson one best. Got a couple records for you now in a little more of a traditional Christmas vein. First, the Shannon Four on a Federal record, number 5130. Federal, something of a rare label, produced in the early 1920s. This one's from 1921, and it's Silent Night. After that, we'll hear organist Mark Andrews recording for the Victor label in the fall of 1925. A two-part recording. It's Mark Andrews' Christmas Fantasy. And in this, we'll hear Christians Awake, It Came Upon the Midnight Clear, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem, Joy to the World, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, and The First Noel. A really nice, nice arrangement recorded in Victor's Camden, New Jersey studios. I don't know if this was recorded in their church studio or not. Maybe. I'll have to look that up. In the meantime, let's listen. Here's first the Shannon Four and Silent Night.
Silent night, peaceful night, all things sleep,
Bye.
That record must have been a strong seller, or at least a steady seller for the Victor label. It was released in late November of 1925 and remained in the active Victor catalog all the way up until 1944. So at a time when most other 78s were in print for maybe 2 or 3 years, that one was in print for almost 20. Mark Andrews at the organ recorded in Camden, New Jersey, and I looked that up while it was playing to see if that might have been in Victor's famous church studios in Camden, but the discography doesn't say, and I'm not entirely sure whether it was the church studio or not. In any case, it was called A Christmas Fantasy. We heard both parts as issued on the A and B sides of Victor 19816. Before that, the Shannon 4, a Federal record from 1921. 5130 was the catalog number, and Silent Night. Well, we turn now to a recitation from Harry E. Humphrey, who recorded extensively for the Victor and Columbia labels in the mid-19-teens. From about 1913 to 1917, he just issued dozens and dozens and dozens of records. And this is his Christmas offering, Columbia A1605. It's that famous poem by Clement C. Moore, A Visit from St. Nicholas, now colloquially better known as The Night Before Christmas. This was recorded early on in Harry Humphrey's career, October of 1913. Well, relatively speaking, early in his career. Harry Humphrey, incidentally, was also the voice of the photo drama of creation, a long 5 or 6 hour, well, it was a combination of a slideshow and a film with a synchronized recorded soundtrack. You can look up and read all about that. I don't want to digress too much here, but if you ever have a chance to listen to that or see any parts of it, it's on YouTube. Harry Humphrey is the speaker for that as well. Here he is, though, A Visit from St. Nicholas.
Was the night before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her kerchief and I in my cap had just settled our brains for a long winter's nap, when out on the lawn there arose such a clatter I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Dunder and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew with a sleigh full of toys, and St. Nicholas too. And then, in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry, his droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke, it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, Up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
And with a visit from St. Nicholas, we approach the end of today's stack of 78s here on the Shellac Stack. Before I go, let me say thanks again for tuning in and listening to these old 78 RPM records with me. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'd like to wish you a very Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy New Year, whatever holiday or holidays you celebrate. I hope you have a wonderful holiday season, and I hope we'll see you back here after the new year for more 78s on the Shellac Stack. In the meantime, thanks again for all of the emails and friendly notes that some of you have sent to me over the past few months, offering words of support, encouragement, friendship. If you'd like to write to me with any comments, questions, suggestions, or requests, my email address, as always, is shellacstack@gmail.com. That's shellacstack@gmail.com. Or you can visit the website for the Shellac Stack, which is on my own site, www.briansright.com. That's briansright.com. And there's a little contact form there. You can click on it and send me a message if you're so inclined. And now, I have one last record for you before we say adieu. It's The Ink Spots, recorded February 27th, of all times, 1947. That classic Irving Berlin Christmas song, White Christmas, and a lovely version. The label says The Ink Spots, but it's really mostly a Bill Kenny record, Bill Kenny being the lead singer, that high falsetto, beautiful voice that adorns so many Ink Spots records. Here it is, Decca 24140. Again, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. Where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all says be white. Christmas be